Use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. No complaints.
All right.
Especially for an elderly fellow like myself.
Right. Well, you're just a young fellow compared with me, but that's all right. Under any circumstances, certainly we heard this last week, that Chrysler was going to go into bankruptcy. But the most amazing thing, they're not just going into bankruptcy. The government is going to determine what's going to happen. In other words, who's going to get the value of the company, and instead of giving it to the bondholders who are entitled to it, I mean, this was the original contract, why, they're going to give it to some, to the union that doesn't really have any, the claim, nowhere near the claim that the bondholders have. How can the Obama administration violate the laws of our land and determine who's going to get paid and who's not going to get paid?
Well, as you know, we live in an era where the rules are broken every single day. And there are no rules. They are what they say they are. And that's about what it is. And this administration is as bad as the last one. Could be very much worse in a lot of ways. It's hard to tell so far, but the outlook is terrible. And that just shows you that our country, our government is run by Wall Street and banking, and we've got to tell people that, and we got to tell them all about how it happened and who's behind it. And Stan, we've got them on the run. I really believe that. I think they are in serious trouble. I mean, the letters that I get from all over the world, never mind America, and people say the same thing. I'm so glad that I listened to you on such and such a program, and now I understand what's going on, and I know who's behind the scenes, even in my own country now, who belongs to this cult of the Illuminati, and we know who to blame this on. And so we're doing a great service to people, and it's working.
Well, I really appreciate everything that you do. I would put in a plug. We do have something called the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. It includes the members of the Bilderbergers and all the members of the Trilateral Commission all throughout the world, and the members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And basically, these are the three major groups. I suppose the Club of Rome plays some part, the Group of 30. We have their membership list, including, our Secretary of the Treasury and the Chinese, head of their Bank of China. What's he doing? We're working with Timothy Geithner and Paul Volcker and Larry Summers, what's the head of the Bank of China? Well, of course, it's all a slam dunk. You're not supposed to know that they all work together behind the scenes. So if you'd like to get the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness, it's something unique, only available through Radio Liberty, by calling 1-800 1-800-544-8927. Our guest, of course, is Bob Chapman. And Bob says, well, he thinks that they're worried, and I think that they are worried. I think they're going to start moving very fast. That's why I think that they, why you've just seen a trial run on this epidemic, so-called swine flu. But down the line, I think they're going to bring something back. Why? Because this will destroy the economy of the whole world, according to a recent article of the Council on Foreign Relations page there. And I think that when the next wave comes of the next epidemic that they release, things will really get bad. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And Bob was saying that he's getting letters from all over the world, from people who are beginning to understand how this whole thing is controlled by the banks. I mean, it's not that the government is regulated by the banks. The banks regulate our government. And certainly Timothy Geithner is their man. In fact, did you see that article in the New York Times this last week about Timothy Geithner having regular breakfast with the people who run J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs?
Yeah, we ran that in the Forecaster. And they're all together. That's why Stan's list and your call in is so important. So, you can't tell the players without a program. And you should pick that up. It's well worth it.
Well, it's just something we put together. Anybody wants it? Our telephone number is 1. I was just mentioning, of course, that we do have a new syllabus. It's called the Membership List of the Brotherhood of Darkness. It has the list of the Trilateral Commission, from the Trilateral Commission all throughout the world, who these people are, the Group of 30, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberger Group, who's belonged to the Bilderberger Group through the years. Fascinating information, just all put together very conveniently for you. And understand, we do have a small elite group that controls our country. Well, what's happening to the economy? Of course, we hear that things are looking better, that certainly the sales were up a little bit this last month, and maybe there weren't quite as many foreclosures as there had been, but not quite as many people lost their jobs. We're still losing, 600,000 jobs a month?
Well, it's quite a few. We'll get to that in a minute, but I want to answer your question on Chrysler. First of all, the deal with Fiat, which is a big trilateral firm, all dyed-in-the-wool aluminous, believe me. And the man who used to run it and his son who ran it after him who got killed, they were old-time black nobility. And I did a study on them some years ago. And anyway, the deal was really hooked up with the U.S. government via the CFR types, etc. And it's interesting that what Fiat is doing, number one, 20%, 30% of Chrysler.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Bob Chapman, and he was just saying that as far as the Chrysler deal is concerned, you picked that up, 30% is going to who?
Fiat. And that would be for their expertise and other professional proprietary things that they do. And if they are able to get Chrysler a vehicle on the road in the United States that gets over 40 miles to the gallon under their brand name, they'll get 51% of the company. Now, that's not etched in stone because, every minute this thing changes. Labor unions are supposed to get 55% of the action. Well, that's 106%. And then you get the bondholders and the government is putting in, I think it's $8.2 billion, and we have the Canadian government in Ontario putting in $0.42 billion, and they're supposed to get 8% and 2% respectively. And on top of that, the General Motors situation with Fiat, which I didn't finish. General Motors has been offered by Fiat to buy out all of their dealerships in Europe and Opel. Now, if they have all of those outlets and their own, they can sell Chrysler, Opel, and Fiat cars, and they'll have a monopoly virtually. And so I don't know whether that sort of thing is going to fly in Europe, but we'll see. And that's not good.
But, of course, the bondholders, the stockholders, are going to lose everything. And a lot of this is older people. A lot of it is hedge funds, pension funds, certainly municipalities that bought these bonds thinking that they were solid, and suddenly they're looking at simply being totally wiped out. This is going to have a profound impact on our economy, because at one time General Motors was the largest corporation in the United States.
Well, the reason the Chrysler deal went into receivership was because the hedge funds, a handful of them, just wouldn't budge. They said, we'll take our chances in bankruptcy court, and that's what caused it to go there. Chrysler, under normal circumstances, being taken over by Fiat, probably would have been good. But I get virtually thrown off the station on Fox this morning for saying I don't think the economy is going to do that well. And they just didn't want to hear it. Anyway, I explained to them what's going on with stimulus and the amount of money being put into the economy, and that it's not going to work. And all they're doing is staving off the inevitable. And the inevitable is the market just isn't there for anybody's car, whether it's BMW or Mercedes or anybody. The market isn't there. I mean, just look at the figures we publish. Every month, production, year on year, is down an average of 35 to 40%. In some countries, it's over 50.
But you're talking about Toyota, and you're talking about Honda. It's a lot of the really best cars being produced. Their sales are down massively as well.
Yes, and that means that no matter what they do to Chrysler, it is not going to work. And the same thing is true of General Motors. And they should have never been bailed out by the Bush administration 3 years ago. They should have been allowed to go bankrupt. And I know that is a terrible thing to say when the banks and broke Wall Street are being bailed out. But they shouldn't have been bailed out either. They should have been allowed under our system to go bankrupt. And that's what started this. I mean, they bailed out GE, AIG, which is a front for the CIA and money laundering. And every brokerage firm and bank in the country is involved in laundering money, particularly drug money. I mean, the whole thing is so corrupt. The only way we can solve this thing is put them all in jail.
But, of course, that's not going to happen. Of course, the thing that is going to happen is, since last October, when Henry Paulson said, I have to have $700 billion so I can bail out Main Street, so we can keep people in their homes, we can buy up these home mortgages and keep people in their homes. That was last October. They still haven't done anything. I mean, and now, of course, some of the big banks, which had a moratorium on home foreclosures, have said, well, we thought Obama was going to do something. 100 days, nothing's happened. And they're going to start, a new wave of home foreclosures, and more people are going to lose their homes, and the home prices are going to fall here. But this is going to impact on all the rest of the world. And why aren't the major banks that have sold the fraudulent, bonds, the fraudulent so-called collateralized debt obligations, why aren't they getting sold for selling fraudulent things? I do see that some people are trying to go after the rating companies, Moody and Standard & Poor's, for giving AAA ratings to obviously fraudulent bonds. But the courts are saying, well, a rating is just an opinion, You can't criticize them for having the wrong opinion. And I could say, well, I think you ought to be able to criticize them because they knew it was they were fraudulent sales, and they were part and parcel of it. sounds like they're going to get off scot-free, though.
Yeah, they will. And it's all prosecutable. It's all crime. It's all fraud. And there are no rules. They do what they want to do.
But
I mean, who was I read this morning? I forget what it was. It's in the next IF, but some attorney who does bankruptcy work, they told him to shut his mouth or they destroy his reputation. This is the administration. And it was on ABC. I picked it up. It's in the next issue. I mean, this is, you know, these people are extortionists. They're worse than the mafia. Worse. And they kill people and get away with it. I mean, at least half the time they caught the mafia.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
Well, of course, usually the mafia was, we know the mafia was working with the CIA, was carrying out a lot of the hits, of course, if they got caught, why they went to jail. But then, of course, just to show how unscrupulous things are, why the CIA actually killed the mafia don Sam Giancano. That was the story of Double Cross. I mean, this man who trusted the mafia, the CIA, because he was doing their assassinations for them all throughout the world, himself got assassinated, taken out by the Central Intelligence Agency. It's covered in a book called The Double Cross, written by Chuck Giancano, who is the brother of Sam Giancano. Book is still around. You ought to get it. You ought to read it. You ought to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And they really do assassinate people who get out of line. And so,
that's for sure.
No, basically.
Absolutely, for sure.
No, do you think that there's going to be another big wave of foreclosures later this year? Home foreclosures?
Gee, I wrote about it in Saturday's issue. And this is the way it works out. By next month, almost all the Alta and subprime loans will be over with, the problems. Now we have option arms and prime loans. People are getting laid off.
And course, by
Wall Street and all throughout the country.
Now, by option arms, you mean those are the adjustable rate mortgages that people have that, you know, start out at 2.9% and then suddenly you're 6%.
Exactly. And so these are going to be weighing on the economy in 2010, 2011, all the way into 2012.
And of course
there is not going to be any permanent recovery. It's going to be continued depreciation of assets, continued deflation as an underlying factor, and there will be continued increase in monetization and means turning money and credit into inflation is what it means. And the only thing that's going to change anything from inflation to deflation is once they have, the U.S. forces have taken Pakistan, Israel will then attack Iran, and we will have a third world war. And under the cover of that, in a real swine flu manufactured at army facilities at Fort Detrick, will wipe out half the population of the United States.
Do you really think that's going to happen, Bob?
I think it's going to happen. I haven't heard anybody else say it, but that's what I believe. And, you know, I was the one who called 9/11 in the November before it happened, within 33 days of the event. Didn't know what the event was going to be, but I knew it was going to be a false flag event because they needed to get into Iraq as a staging area geopolitically. And otherwise.
And because this was always the plan, only had to read the Project for the New American Century documents, and they're included in our syllabus on Iraq, the Untold Story. You'll actually see the Project for the New American Century statement about rebuilding America's defenses, where they talk about how we're going to have troops permanently stationed in the Middle East, no matter who's in power, whether Saddam Hussein is in power or not. But they can't let the American people know that it was all fraudulent, That, of course, what happened on 9/11, well, certainly Building 7 was obviously a controlled demolition. I mean, when it came down, just look at the pictures of it. It's a typical controlled demolition as the center of the roof caves in first. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And if they lie to us about what happened on September 11th, what else are they lying to us about? And certainly they can never let the truth come out, that they killed 3,000 Americans, that there were something like 15 different military exercises that morning, many of them simulating a hijacking of American planes and crashing them into buildings, so that the NORAD and everybody else, nobody knew what was happening at that time. Well, Bob, you go right ahead. Certainly, I noticed in your last international forecast you talked about how you felt that we weren't going to get to the bottom of the housing market till about 2012. Is that right?
Right, and this is the way I think it works out. This is the way it looks from my perspective now. This is subject to change, no doubt, because I'm not in the inner sanctum. Now, the benefits from stimulus this year will hit this month and through July, and that'll be it. Maybe some trailing off into August. And so the economy, which looks like presently it's taking a rest from its hideous downward movement, it will probably be in that mode through the summer. And when the stimulus wears off, I would think that the stock market will go down and the economy will be subject to what it has been up until this point. Now, next year, most of the stimulus is taking effect. That's an election year. So between probably February, March, and through into October, I would think that the economy would again do relatively well. And I'll give you a grading system here in a minute. And irrespective of that, the market will not do that well. And the reason why is there's going to be some pretty bad inflation. Even cheerleader Warren Buffett agrees with that. Now, we had in the fourth quarter a minus 6.3 GDP. In the first quarter, minus 6.1. We should be probably minus 5 to 5.5 in this quarter. Maybe minus 4 through the end of the year. Next year, we should see somewhere between no negative and no growth and 4, minus 4. And so we should end next year with a minus, with a anywhere between no increase in GDP and a minus 4. If I had to guess, I would say close to even on the GDP. Now, that's with $12.8 trillion moving through the system and the stimulus package, which is included in there. And that's about $1.2 trillion. And the Fed is creating $1.2 trillion already, monetizing toxic junk out of the market, treasuries out of the market, and treasuries from the treasury. So there's $2.5 trillion right there. That impetus is going to run out. And if Congress doesn't come back with another 13 to 15 trillion, there's only one thing they can do, and that is tell the banks to take the money that is on their balance sheet, but it's deposited at the Fed, making a net 1%, and take that money and go out and lend it out into the economy. That's total monetization.
Hold that. We'll be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob was just saying that certainly in the last quarter of last year, we had a drop of about 6.9% in the first quarter of drop in domestic product, gross domestic product, GDP, this first quarter, about a 6.1% drop in GDP. He thinks that all the money they're pouring out, you know, they're going to give us all $400 or $500, and the Social Security recipients are all going to get a check for $250, and all of this money is going to have an impact, you know, and so that the fall in the GDP maybe the second quarter, the third quarter will be down around minus 5%. And then of course, he thinks maybe that by next year, when, of course, all of this massive spending from the stimulus bill kicks in, why, we may have a GDP of zero or maybe down to 4%, somewhere between a zero and minus 4%. But none of this, of course, is going to really solve the problem, and because what they're doing is simply creating money out of nothing, trying to get people back into the buying programs that got us into the problem in the first place. But what it's going to do is end up destroying the value of our currency. And the average person doesn't understand that this is an attack on the pension fund. This is an attack, certainly, on anything they have in the stock market, in their bonds, in their annuities, in their insurance policies. And they're going to destroy the value of our currency just as effectively as they destroyed the value of the currency in Zimbabwe during this last 25 years. They're in the process of doing that, and the same people are in control. Henry Kissinger brought the Marxist government in Zimbabwe into power 29 years ago, and Henry Kissinger is giving orders to the President of the United States every day today. And those of you who haven't seen that quotation comes from the Council on Foreign Relations about the speech that General James Jones, head of the National Security Council, gave, where he said, and if you want this, well, you can get it from Radio Liberty, or go just Google in CFR, February Security Meeting, Munich, General James Jones, and you'll get it there. And he said, I take my orders every day from Henry Kissinger. We have a chain of command in the National Security Council. It comes from Henry Kissinger to General Scowcroft to Sandy Berger to me. And of course, what people don't understand is James Jones tells the President what to do. So go right ahead, Bob.
Well, it's a long, sad story that Stan and I have been following since 1960. We've worked years and years on exposing what these people have done and are still in the process of doing, their satanic desires for world government, the wars that they've created and financed on both sides for centuries. And it's the same group of families and others who join in along the way. And that's the way the world has been controlled. And we're out to break that control by exposing them. And sooner or later, people are going to rise up and demand that the people who caused this to the world today are not going to get away with it. And it's going to be a pretty nasty affair.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. I know you're doing almost as many hours of radio a week as I am. We do 25 hours, and I think you do almost that much. And certainly I appreciate you being with us every Monday afternoon and Monday evening to bring our listeners up to date on what's going on now. Certainly, do you anticipate there'll be any cutback in the unemployment rate? We're seeing almost 600,000 people losing their jobs, you know, every month. And we've lost, what, $5 million jobs since the recession began?
Well, without added revenue because of the existing unemployment, the cutback in the use of credit cards, both by the individual and corporation, as well as the banks. And we're looking at consumption down from 72% of GDP to 70. That's headed to 64.5%, which is the long-term median of consumerization, we'll call it. And it could even go lower than that. And so the profits are not going to be there for corporations. So in order to keep their ship afloat, they're going to continue to cut lines, cut programs, cut this, cut that, and cut employment. Employment usually makes up about 75% of costs of corporations. And so that's where they start. And, you know, John Williams has got U6 at 19.8. I got it at 19.2.
That's the unemployment. That is the U6 unemployment. That's not what the government tells you. That's the total unemployment rate. Is that that correct, Bob?
Well, it is in part. U6 is published by the government. It's 16.2%. It's just that the figures aren't correct because they're not using...
In time? What about Obama's
like other
plan?
Actors, he's following orders. There was Mr. Reagan and then the flamboyant Bill Clinton and then the nitwit who followed him for 8 years, whose name will not pass my lips. And now, and that legislation is a slam dunk. Anybody that's got money offshore, they won't get it back without paying the tax, which they shouldn't have to do if it's there legally. And probably 85% of the money that is offshore is there legally. It's been declared. Doesn't make any difference. So that doesn't mean that this won't be knocked out of the legislation. I don't think it will be. The other part of it, the legislation is proposed to be taxing corporations on income that they make and deposit in offshore accounts because the money was made outside the country.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Shuman. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Bob Chapman at the International Forecaster. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And before we go on, Bob, would you like to tell people how they can get in touch with you or subscribe to the International Forecaster? And I will tell you, it comes twice a week. I mean, it's 25 pages, sometimes 30 pages. But it's fascinating information, and if you have any hope of surviving in the very difficult times that lie ahead, you need to know what's really going on. And I believe that Bob's overall advice is excellent, and what he is telling you about what's happening to our currency is vitally important. If you hope to survive or maintain any of your life savings, why, you better listen, because remember, as Richard Russell said, he who loses the least wins. We are all going to lose a large part of what we've spent our whole life working for, but you want to maintain some of what you've got, and tell people how to get hold of your newsletter, Bob.
Well, the forecast is about business, finance, economic, social, and political issues all over the world. We publish by email. It usually runs 35 pages each time on Wednesdays and Saturdays. We also have a hard copy that goes out to those who are not on the Internet. And you can access the Forecaster and a free introductory copy by going to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. You can email us at bob@intforecaster.com. Or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. I think that is certainly a very important thing that you will want to get if you're out there in the listening audience. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. For our people listening, understand that this whole thing is created. How have they dried up, you know, the amount of money that says that the banks don't want to lend, the small banks? Well, of course, they frightened them to death. And, of course, I mean, which bank would want to loan money to people if they're not sure they're going to get it back. They load it on a house, and the value of the house falls another 20 or 30%. Why? Because they're going to lose their shirts. And the same thing is true on commercial property. And when everything is falling, it's like trying to catch a falling knife. Banks don't want to lend under those circumstances. And besides that, the Federal Reserve is giving them money. So on all their deposits, they're leaving with the Federal Reserve. For the first time in history, they're paying interest on the reserves to dry up all the money that would be available for the loans. If the bank couldn't do that, they would be forced to loan money, but they don't want them to loan money. But they do not want the public to know that. They want the public to believe that they're doing everything they can to get the credit markets working. And of course, they're in cahoots with the big banks, which, of course, you know, are not lending. They're simply, you know, they are lending, but certainly, you know, at 15% interest, 10-15% interest, and then you've got to, you know, put up your mother-in-law and your wife and all your children in hock so that, you know, they can be sure they're going to get their money back. Well, so what about the letters of credit that they were used in the past to facilitate international trade? At one point in one of your newsletters, you said it was very difficult to get a letter of credit to facilitate, for instance, buy things over in China. Do they still have restrictions on that or not?
They do, but they did loosen up quite a bit. And so that problem, in part, has been solved. But it's not anywhere near what it was before, which means international trade can't go back to where it was before. Not really should it, because of the lack of buying, and the great exporters today, such as China and Japan, are really hurting very badly. Japan has a stimulus plan of $250 billion, which is like spinning in the ocean. The Japanese have a plan, $587 billion, cash in injection into the economy, plus banking things that'll make it $1.2 trillion. And Europe's doing the same thing. And so they're all out, you know, creating these aggregates. And again, they are not solving the problem. I mean, Japan went through this from 92 until today. They've never come out of depression. I mean, they poked their head out 2 years ago for about a year and a half, and that was the end of it. And they've been in the depression. The only reason they didn't go under is they continued to increase debt, as everybody else is now, and they are doing it more, 200 times GDP. And Japan was unsuccessful, and America is going to be unsuccessful. And the world, which is all doing mostly the same thing, they're all going to be unsuccessful. And when they pull the plug and allow deflation to take over, when I get all their wars going on, and all of their whatever it may be in the way of biological warfare against the people of the world, then everything will be let loose, and there'll be utter chaos.
And
that's why having food and a filter and weapons and gold and silver coins is so important.
And I think people really need to understand that a world pandemic. Now, I think this was just a trial. I mean, obviously, this was a very minor thing. They scared everybody. They wanted to see how they could manipulate them. Boy, did they get them manipulated. They closed 470 schools in the United States. They got people out there wearing masks, afraid to go out. It was all fear. I mean, we knew it was a scam. I mean, 2,000 people die every day of malaria. We're not trying to solve the malaria problem. Let them use DDT because we want them to die. 5,000 people die a day of AIDS. And we're not addressing the AIDS epidemic using standard public health techniques. So we know that the loss of you of 16 people from this epidemic in Mexico was a scam. In other words, they wanted to frighten people. But I think down the line, Bob's right. We're going to have a major epidemic because that will paralyze paralyze the economy of the world and plunge the world into chaos. And then, of course, the people will be willing to accept this one world government. That is what this is really all about, creating the one world government, creating order out of chaos. Well, Bob, we've got George calling from Toronto. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Before we put George on, I have read someplace that it is estimated that throughout the world they have lost about 45% of the artificial wealth that had been created in housing, artificial wealth created in the stock markets throughout the world. Do you think that's a fairly accurate figure, that 45% of the wealth of the world has been destroyed here in the last few months?
Yes, that's a good estimate.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to George calling from Toronto. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Hi, Bob. Bob, my question has to do with gold and currency. Up in Canada here, our Canadian dollar has been rising against the U.S. dollar, and I've got some gold bullion certificates, and... but I'm afraid that I'm going to be losing on the currency side. Is there any way to hedge against that?
Well, it all depends on whether gold goes up against the Canadian dollar, which it will. And the reason I say that is that you have to measure the Canadian dollar versus gold, not the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar is going to go down. Canadian dollar is going to go up, and other currencies are as well against the dollar. And you know, for Canadian trade, it's negative. For imports to Canada, it's positive. The main thing to watch is gold. Who are your gold certificates with?
They're with a Scotiabank.
Well, you're okay as long as Scotia doesn't go bankrupt.
Right.
You know, if you get gold with them, I would convert it to coins and take delivery.
Okay. What about
if I lived in Ontario or BC, that's what I'd do.
What's that last part you said?
I said if I lived in Ontario or BC, that's what I would do.
Buy gold coin.
Right. Convert it and take the money and buy gold coins. You can buy Canadian maple leaf, gold, silver, and gold. That should suffice.
Okay.
And then you get a safe, or if you have one, put those gold coins or silver coins or both into your safe along with your important papers.
Okay, Bob. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, fine. Let's go to Tom, who's calling from Ohio. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thanks. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yeah, I wanted to ask him if the layoff rate a while back hit $1 million a month, didn't it? And also, the camps that Dick Cheney built, enough to hold 30 million Americans, that will probably what they used to put them in.
Wait a minute. Now, first of all, I don't believe there's any time we've lost a million jobs a month. I think that is just not right. So what were you saying? What about the camps?
Camps?
Go ahead.
Ask Bob what he thinks about these camps. Are they going to put the American people in them?
All right, fine. Thank you so much for calling, Tom.
Also, are they death camps or are they labor camps?
Okay, fine. Well, do you think that there are camps out there, Bob? Should we be concerned about
them? Oh, yes. There's no doubt there's camps out there.
Are they death camps or labor camps?
I would term them internment camps, probably work camps. People like you and I, Stan, if they start that, we won't go to camps. They're just taking us out and shoot us. It's as simple as that. We can't hope to live. Unless they want to use us for propaganda purposes, that's possible. And what was the first part of that question?
Well, he was saying about the million people are losing their jobs.
Oh, yeah. The figure for the last few months has been about 100 to 150,000 to 200,000 more than they said. So if they said 623,000 lost their jobs last month, it was probably closer to 775 or 800,000. I don't have the figures right in front of me, but the figures were greater if you use the 1980 reporting method and do not use the birth-death ratio and other Mickey Mouse things that they get in there. All doing is lying about everything.
Okay, fine. And certainly, George wanted to know about numismatic coins. Do you think numismatic coins are better than just the regular gold coins?
Well, I feel that in the gold coin category, I think 20% should be bullion coins and 80% numismatic coins, because history shows us that once the market gets hot, they'll outperform by 3, 4, 5 times the bullion coins, because they're rare and collectible coins. And they're graded, they're mint state, and there's even dealers who disagree with me. I've been there, I've done that, and some of them have too, and I don't know where they're coming from. I saw something today by a dealer who I've known for years, and made these whole list of things saying that numismatic coins aren't what they are. And that's wrong. I mean, we've seen them perform before, seen coins go from $500 to $5,000 when gold went from $150 an ounce to $850. And they haven't done that yet again. They've done very well. I mean, the last 5 years, MS64 Saints have gone from probably something on the order, we'll say, $400 an ounce to about $1,850. And whereas the bullion coins are about a little bit more than double, so there's a big difference. So I'm always have been an advocate of numismatics. It's a personal thing with me. I am convinced it's one of the better ways to go, along with gold and silver stocks as well. It all depends on your wealth and whether you want to take extra risks.
All right, fine. If you're out there, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we'd like to know what you think out there, if you have a question or comment for Bob. But certainly, any thought that we're, you know, coming to the end of the tunnel, that things are going to start getting better, yes, they will get better temporarily, but the major problems are there. The foreclosures are going to continue. The job losses are continue. Our companies, most of them are going to have difficulty surviving. And I mean, giving everybody on Social Security $250 is not going to revive the automotive market out there. Do you think, Bob?
Not at all. People are going to reduce debt with more than half the money, because the situation now is worse than it was the last time they gave money away. And in fact, they may even pay off bills with 70 or 80% of it. It's just not going to go into, you know, the buying part of the economy.
And
that's why I say Chrysler and General Motors can be taken out. Let's say they finish bankruptcy tomorrow. They'll last two more years, and that'll be it. They're going under. There's no way they're going to stay in business. Ford will make it. Ford did the right things.
What did Ford do differently than General Motors?
They cleaned up as much of their debt as possible, and they continued, particularly in foreign markets, to ship their vehicles to foreign markets, and they would sell them at employee cost. So in other words, paying $32,000 for a vehicle, you'd pay $24.8 or $25,000. And that way they cleared their inventory. They kept their cash flow going.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest has been Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster. Once more, Bob, tell people how to get your publication.
Well, you can get a free introductory copy by going to our site, theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com. They can call us toll-free, 800 800-375-4188. 800-375-4188. Or email us at bob@intforecaster.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Bob Chapman. And Bob, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up your thoughts for today.
Well, I think the amount of money that's been expended on Chrysler and General Motors is going to be lost by the American people, because they're the ones who put the money up. And it'll come to no good end. These two companies, which were destroyed by free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing under the circumstances that they were under 3 years ago, should have been allowed to go bankrupt, as should have all of the banks and all of the insurance companies and Wall Street. They should have never been given a dime. They should have all been allowed to go under. That would have taken all of our major banks and all of our major brokerage houses under. And that's the only thing that's going to solve this problem. And everybody backs away and says, no, we can't do this. We can't possibly do that. And all you're doing is rewarding these thieves. And that's really what they are. They're crooks in $3,000 suits. They have unimaginable wealth. They treat everybody else like they're animals. This is the Illuminati, the elitists who served them, and this is what we've got to defeat, what Stan and I have been fighting for 50 years. And that's our problem. And none of these companies should have ever been saved.
Well, unfortunately, we cannot stop them. They control the government. They're really what we're seeing is a massive transfer of wealth from the American people and their future and their savings. And the American people's wealth is being transferred to the people of great wealth. And I think we're witnessing the greatest transfer of wealth in all recorded history. What are your thoughts?
There's no question. I mean, this is the biggest scam ever. And, you know, it's only just begun. By the time this is through, they'll probably have incurred a $50 trillion in debt. And I think that every currency in the world will be devalued. And all the debt will be defaulted on simultaneously. And I think they want to create an international unit that might titularly be backed by gold, a digital form of currency that can control everybody. And this is what their goal is under their new world order.
And I think it's only a matter of time before, of course, the whole economic system just collapses. And that's exactly what they want. They've precipitated this. Bob, we're out of time. God bless. I'll see you tonight.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Hope you've enjoyed our program every Monday with Bob Chapman. And this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle, things being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, why, of course, we hope that you'll give us a call. Join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you really want to understand what's going on, of course, we have our talk, The Financial Tsunami, given maybe 3 or 4 years ago. It's on DVD, but with a syllabus that will help you to understand all the terms that are being used and how they pulled off this scam. There is no instance in all history where a nation has gone to a fiat money system and that system has survived. And of course, they don't teach you that in school, but we have a fiat money system. They create money out of nothing. They were able to actually inflate the whole world, and now they've destroyed almost 45% of the debt of the world, and they've done it all with smoke and mirrors. And of course, people throughout the world are frantic. I mean, we think things are bad here. They're far worse off than the rest of the world. our talk, The Financial Tsunami, will explain the derivatives. They knew exactly the chaos they were going to bring about. They knew they were going to collapse the world monetary system, and that's why they allowed them to issue these insurance policies without any financial backing to bring down the whole world financial system. We have a wonderful book written in 1889 by Mr. Wahlberg, who was a lawyer, talking about, it's called The Coming Battle Between the Banks and the People, and how they were going to eventually try to impoverish the people. 1889, the same thing's going on today. We have a book written in 1935 by Gertrude Kugan called The Money Creators, going into how this whole banking scam is run. If you have not yet read my little pamphlets on the history of money, another one on the financial meltdown, these are two little inexpensive pamphlets, but they will give you the information you need to understand what's going on. We have a great new four-tape set. It's called Financial Armageddon. And, of course, it's a number of recent interviews with some of the most knowledgeable people. That's Financial Armageddon. It's a 4-CD set. We carried the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. If you haven't read it, you need to. It is probably the best single book out there, written by our good friend Ed Griffin, who we've known since 1962, when I first met Ed, December of 62. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, by Professor Sutton. We carry a book on the Trilateral Commission. And we carry the book, Fiat Money Inflation in France. And all of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But the book on the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, the Trilateral Commission, Fiat Money Inflation in France, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Coming Battle, the Money Creators, are all available from Radio Liberty. You're going to have a hard time finding them many other places. But we have the information. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and we have all sorts of tape sets and information there. Let me recommend our 4-CD set, Financial Armageddon, because you need to understand what's going on, and you need to begin making preparations. If you have not yet laid in a supply of long-range storage food, where you can get it at wholesale prices, shipped directly from the factory, from Ready Reserve, by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get your Big Berkey or Berkey Light water filter, you need to have these on hand, and we don't know what's going to happen. But believe me, we're moving into uncertain times. If you'd like to lay in a supply of the health products that Barbara and I take, and the vitamins, and specifically the allobiotic, which is a mixture of about 5 different herbs, and garlic, and oil of oregano, and certainly elderberry juice, and a couple of other things. And that's what Barbara and I take, a couple of those, and the vitamin D3, 5,000 unit. We will have these. We'll have the allobiotic in the end of this week, so you won't get it till the first of next week. Won't be shipped, but the information's there. Go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, and then.